Lord.
So we here at Promise of Victory have a pastor that's smart enough to know his limitations. And for years and years and years and years and years, I preached on Mother's Day. And one Sunday while I was preaching on Mother's Day, it hit me that I know zero about being a mother. And at that point, I began to turn it over to the kinder, gentler, more peace-loving member of the Mitchum family. And I asked her to take over. And sometimes she does it by herself, and sometimes she's got a whole crew of ladies up here speaking about mothers and things. And I've, for years, we've, you know, you got to feel good on Mother's Day because this kind, gentle, angelic, some of y'all are fooled into thinking that, you know, she's so gentle and meek and mild, and because y'all don't know the Mandy I know. And then she told me what she was preaching today, and I said, go get 'em, girl. So I want you to welcome my wife as she brings the word today for Mother's Day to Promise of Victory. Pastor Amanda Mitchum, God bless you.
I love you all, and you'll see here in a minute why I chose to do the prizes the way that I did. I know we normally have a system for all of that, but to be honest with you, God really shook me up this week. I had a total different message prepared, and I was going to ask people to do some things with me, and the Lord arrested my spirit, and he said, I don't want you to do that. And he's never, you have to understand, he's never done that to me. Usually if the Lord gives me something, I just go with it, and I'm good, and I write it, and I'm good. I mean, literally, it just flows, but not this time. God has a specific message for you today. And I don't know if that means anything to anybody else, but I know when God targets me, when he has a specific message that he wants to give me, that means everything to me. Because he sees you of that importance, of that much value, to give you a word straight from heaven. Amen? So I do thank you for being here today. I'm sorry that you don't get the rougher Mitchum. But I'm going to speak exactly what God told me to speak, and I'm going to be as obedient as I can be. Are you guys okay with that? So I'm going to ask you this morning to join me in exploring the story of a woman from the Gospel of Luke. We know very little about this woman. We don't even know her name. We don't know where she came from, if she was married, if she has children. We have no idea. We know nothing about her. Nevertheless, she stands out to me because not of anything that she did, but what Jesus did for her. Will you stand for me this morning for the reading of the word? Luke 13, 10 through 17. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bent over and could no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them, not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whose Satan has bound, think of that, for 18 years be loosened from the bond on the Sabbath. And then he said to these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all of the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Tell your neighbor as you're being seated, it's time to straighten up. Time to straighten up. It's time to straighten up. Now, we know that not all illnesses or afflictions are a product of Satan's direct attack, right? We know that not everything that comes against you is the devil. But clearly some afflictions are, because of the Old Testament story of Job teaches us that this woman's story is so. Because we all know what happened to Job. He was afflicted in many different ways. Many ways that we don't even want to imagine being afflicted by. But she has been this way for so long. Why would she hope for anything different? Okay, after you get used to something being a certain way for so long, you kind of just think it's going to always be that way, right? But she's stuck. She feels it's a hopeless situation. There's no solution for her problem. She is bent over, trapped for good, and no hope of straightening up. This is her life. I had a back injury that controlled my life for a season. Some of you remember that. Some of you remember when I had to sit in a chair on the stage to sing because I couldn't stand. It went on for a long time, but not 18 years. 18 years is a very long time to deal with something in your body. I can't imagine the pain that she was in. I cannot imagine trying to lay down at night to sleep and just do everyday life chores and tasks that had to be done there. I mean, their tasks were a lot harder than ours. We have a lot of modern conveniences that they did not have. But an attack can harass you. Come here, sis. When you're attacked, when the devil attacks you, it can press down upon a person, making them captive. And it binds them of chains and of guilt. Sorry, sis. It binds them, okay, of chains of guilt, sin, and shame, and condemnation. It will also rob you of a large portion of a person's life. I would say probably the best years of her life were bent. Just walk around like that, just on the stage. Just walk, just that, see how that feels. Just walk around. And imagine if everyone here today, some people you know, some you don't know, could see all of your inner afflictions. Lust, addiction, bitterness, anxiety, worries, fears. Maybe you're a gossiper. Maybe you don't think that's called being bent, but it is. As a mom, I spent a large portion of my life being crippled by fear. I bent over to it. I obeyed this spirit. Is anyone hearing me? This spirit oppressed me and therefore made me captive to the spirit. I couldn't eat right. I didn't sleep right. I didn't enjoy myself. I had a hard time enjoying anything else around me. And all I could see was my situation. All I could see was the storm. All I saw was right in front of me. The enemy knows, Mama, how much your kids mean to you. And he will use them to get to you because Satan desires to have you. He wants you. He's already pinpointed you, and he knows exactly what to do to you to get to you. So, Mama, you need to be free this morning so your kids can be free. I'm going to say that again. You have to be free if you want your children to be free. Because guess what? If you're not free, you can't pray your kids free. When a mom prays, it's like fire from heaven. We will walk through fire for our kids, but you need to be free yourself. And if you're not free, how are you supposed to free your children? You can't. No matter how many people gave this woman sympathy, it didn't fix it. No matter what you do for a person, it won't fix it. To wake up day after day, month after month, to the same pain, constant pain, a pain that never went away. I wonder if I have anybody in here that wants to straighten up. Do I have anybody in this congregation this morning that wants to straighten up? Do I have any tired people in here this morning? I know it's Mother's Day. This is maybe not the message that you thought you'd hear when you come to church this morning. But in my opinion, freedom is a great gift. Being free and walking in the peace of God is a perfect gift. Day after day, month after month, bent. They stay bent over. The pain or the problem won't go away because you are stuck in that position. Her problem was a sickness, but we know a lot of things can bend people over. A whole set of circumstances can bend you over. What your daddy did to you, what your mama didn't do for you can bend you over and keep you an emotional cripple. There are people here today that things happened years ago, decades ago, and you can't shake it. You won't talk about it, and you surely won't deal with it. And it's got you so crippled and so bent over. And every time you straighten up, this is what happens. Every time you straighten up, it won't let you. That attack on your life, it won't let you straighten up. You can only get so far. You're trying to straighten up. Come on. Come on, sis. You can straighten up. Get yourself together. Get your act together. It will only let us go so far. You see, it's not just a problem of health, but habit. Because you're used to being bent over. This has become your normal, and things don't change for the better. They only get worse. This is the situation of this lady, and it's been going on for 18 years. 18 years. Not only is she crippled, she's crippled in church. She's not just crippled. She's crippled in the house of God. Verse 10 tells me that all of this happened in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Wow. We can come to church for 18 years and things never change. How does it make you feel to come to church service after service and things never change for you? Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about here this morning. We come into the presence of God every week. We sing, we worship, and you're as crippled now as you were 18 years ago. You have set your mind on being the best bent worshiper I can be. I'm just going to worship like this, God, because this is the way my life has been, and this is the way my life is going to continue to be. Try to raise your hands while you're bent. You can't even raise your hands to worship because you're bent. You can't lift your head to heaven because you're bent. But this day, she's in church, and it's going to be unlike any church service that she's ever been to, because this won't be a normal Sunday. Is anybody hearing me this morning? This day, this particular day, on this occasion, when Jesus saw her in verse 12, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are free from your sickness," or "Woman, you are loosed." Now, this is not a normal church service. I don't know if she went every Sunday, some Sundays, but this one's going to be unlike any that she's ever been to. Every other time she went to church, but this time she was going to Jesus. Come on, is anybody hearing me this morning? You can go to church and not meet Jesus. You can do all of the right things and not meet Jesus. You can join all of Promise of Victory's classes, go to all the groups, do everything that we offer and not meet Jesus. On this occasion, it says that Jesus is teaching and simply says, "Woman, you're free from your sickness." All she's been able to do is manage her mess. She's been able to manage her mess. And some of you today have so much mess, you don't know how it started, so you don't know how to get out of it. You just keep adding more mess on top of your mess to cover up all the messes. And you know when you tell a lie just to cover up another lie and another lie, and you don't remember what the truth is? Does anybody remember doing that? Because I do. I remember lying to tell another lie to tell another lie, and that's a miserable life. But this day, this woman's situation is going to change. She didn't know it. She had no idea. But Jesus did. I don't know about you, but I like surprises from God. For 18 years, this woman had been dealing with this infirmity, and the church had been dealing with the fruit. You can only see what's on the outside, the illness, her physical ailment. She couldn't stand up. But Jesus was going to deal with the root of the problem. Why are you going through what you're going through? Twice we are told that her problem was, verse 11 says, it was because of a spirit. Verse 16 says, "Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 years." her problem was not the problem. It was the fruit of the problem. And she was under demonic attack. Run by the head of the spirits, my Bible tells me his name is Satan or Lucifer. Satan assigned a demon to her and had worked itself in her life, making her bent. She was bent over because of a demon. Although it manifested as a physical sickness, she did not actually have a sickness. To us, it looked like she had a sickness, but it was a result of a demon. If the problem is caused by a demon, it cannot be solved by a doctor. If the problem is caused by a demon, it cannot be solved by a sermon. If the problem is caused by a demon, it cannot be solved by a song. I wish somebody was hearing me in this place this morning. It cannot be solved by your friends. It cannot be solved by your neighbors, and it surely cannot be solved by your pastor. It cannot be solved by doing good deeds in the house of God, and it will not be solved by going through religious motions. She was a hostage spiritually. Before she became a cripple physically, here's the thing. This is why so many of us stay bound for so long. We are addressing the wrong problem. We're not addressing the correct problems. We're addressing the effect, not the cause. I'm going to say that again. We are addressing the effect and not the cause. Because when Jesus showed up, he identified the real cause or the root of this woman's issue. I know some of you are probably posing the question right now in your minds, because I did. How can I be sure it's a demon? How do I know? How can I know that what I'm dealing with is demonically inspired? Very simple. It won't go away. It won't leave you alone. The spirit of fear had me at every corner. It would never leave me alone. You don't understand. In the daytime, I was afraid. I couldn't sleep at night because I was afraid. The spirit of fear had me, and it wouldn't leave me alone. And this was years for this woman. 18 years. We're not talking about a bad day. We all have bad days. Maybe somebody did it to you. Or maybe someone caused you to become bitter. Maybe someone has caused you anger. Maybe your anger issues is because of what the root is. The Bible tells us to watch out for the root of bitterness because it opens the door for opportunity. Ephesians 4:27 says, "And do not give the devil a foothold." Don't give him a place in which to enter in, because once he enters in, he holds people hostage. Once you give him a foothold to enter into your life, he holds you hostage. And this woman was going to church for 18 years, hearing sermons on, you should straighten up. She was hearing the sermons, but she could not, because demons had her bent, controlled with oppression. And then scripture says, Jesus saw the woman. It says that he saw her. You know, in my mind, I see a crowd of people, and I see this woman in the back of the room, and they were all standing in the room, and she was bent over, which means to tell me it would have been probably hard to see her because she was bent, crippled over, and everyone was standing around her. But the Bible tells me that he saw her. He knew she was there. Come on, somebody. Jesus saw the woman and called to her. Do I have anybody in this room that is glad that Jesus sees you? And when he called to her, he told her she was delivered. How do you know when you're delivered? It says when Jesus spoke to her, woman, immediately, it says she straightened up. Immediately, it says that she straightened up. It wasn't something that happened slowly. She didn't have to go to physical therapy. It was instant. 18 years of pain, gone, bam, in an instant, gone. 18 years of agony, not being able to sleep good at night, being able to look up to the heavens and worship and praise God like everybody else around her in that synagogue was able to worship, and she could not. Notice the woman. Jesus said, come to me. She had to leave where she was standing to actually come to Jesus. So in other words, her problem or her situation, she had to actually leave that to come to Jesus. She had to leave her place. It was in church where all this happened, but it wasn't church that changed her. Church didn't change her. It was Jesus that changed her. It was letting go of her chains that changed her. Notice the woman. Jesus says, I know there are people here that have been carrying these chains. He's bigger than anything you're carrying in here this morning. And if you want things to change in your life, you have to run into Jesus, not just come to church. Because Jesus is the only one that can handle demons. And I know this is a different kind of message today, but in my spirit, I know there are people here that have been carrying these chains for way too long. You've been carrying things that God has delivered you from time and time again, and it's too long. I have encountered Satan this week trying to prepare this message in ways that I have not saw him in years, in a long time, because this message is for somebody. The person is not the problem. The demon is the problem. The problem is if my issues have me bent over and won't allow me to straighten things out in my life, spiritually based, some foothold that I have given over to or some foothold someone has brought to me, if my demon or demons are my real problem, then I need to come to Jesus. That's easy for her. Jesus was right there, standing right in front of her, physically. But he's not standing right here physically in our realm. We can't physically see him. Colossians 2 and 15 says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Public. It says that he declawed the devil. He ripped him of his authority, meaning that Satan has none. Is anybody getting this morning? The devil doesn't beat you up because he has authority over us. He beats us up because we have given him authority ourselves. If the devil is doing something to you, it's because you have given him permission to do it. Colossians 2 says, he declawed him. He no longer has authority unless given an okay to do so. And once again, he gets your okay. He uses your own authority against you. And whatever the devil is doing through you, to you, or at you, something is telling him it's okay. We come to the altar. We come to the altar and we lay our chains down. We lay them down. I see you. I watch you. I watch you people come to the altar and you lay your chains down. And I know you mean it. You mean it. You really want to be delivered. You want God to take care of your problem. But the problem is Jesus takes the chains off and you politely grab the chain and you put it back on. You put the chain back on your own body before you even get back out to your car. The Bible tells us whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And Galatians 5 and 1 says, I stand therefore in the liberty that Christ made you free, never again to be entangled with the yoke of bondage. That says never again. If Christ has made you free, why on earth are you picking your chain back up to be entangled again with that same yoke of bondage over and over again? It says on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, right? We all believe that in here this morning. Do we all believe that Jesus rose from the dead on the third day and then the ascension? He steps on a cloud and he ascends to heaven. And when he gets to heaven, the Bible tells me that he is seated at the right hand of God the Father, far above all rule and all authority and power. Guess what? Above everything else. Okay? Ephesians chapter 2 says, when you accept Christ, you died with him. You were raised with him, and then you were seated with him in heavenly places. You are sitting right next to Jesus right now, and you don't even know you are. You're sitting right beside of him, in the spiritual realm. If it's a spiritual cause, the physical realm cannot help you. If you are a Christian, the Bible says you are seated with him because we don't operate in that realm. We don't see it. We don't come to Jesus. We come to church. We come to a service. We continue to carry our bitterness. Why God is not doing what he said he was going to do for me? Well, Jesus said he was going to do it, and that was 15 years ago, and he still hasn't done it. And what happens? We become bitter and angry at God. Some of you in here this morning need to forgive God. Some of you need to forgive God because you've not saw him do what he said he was going to do. He didn't say he was going to do it on our time. He's just made a promise that he would. We stay bent over and miserable. We can't help ourselves. Preachers can't deliver you from the spiritual realm. Church cannot deliver you from the spiritual realm. They all have their place, but only Jesus can loosen and deliver and set you free in here this morning. Are you ready for this? You're going to want to put your seatbelts on. Just go ahead and put your seatbelt on this morning. Verse 16 tells me, and this woman, the daughter of Abraham, as she is, Jesus says, I'm going to set this woman free because of who her daddy is. I'm going to read that again. It says, this woman, the daughter of Abraham, as she is, she's connected to Abraham, so she's connected to the covenantal promises that I made to Abraham. Because of her relationship to Abraham, I'm going to deliver her today because she has a relationship that I can hook up to. If I read what my Bible says correctly, it says that I am a seed of Abraham in Galatians 3 and 9. Is that right? Bible says I'm a seed of Abraham. You all have the same link that that lady had. All of you have that same link. If you belong to Jesus, you are a son or a daughter of Abraham, which gives you legal rights in heaven. So why are you staying bound and chained up? Why are you giving legal rights to a demon to keep controlling your life? You have the right, the Bible says, to be delivered. You have the right to be healed. You have the right to walk in freedom, and you have the right to hope. That's you, right? That's you. That's all of us. I'm talking to Christian people in this room this morning. If you don't know Jesus in here, that's your first step that you need to make. You need to know him. Here's a simple statement right here. Everything that God is going to do for you, he's already done it. Everything that he's going to do for you, he already done it. It was finished on the cross. He done everything. In verse 14, it says, but the synagogue official became indignant. We all know that that means angry. The synagogue official became angry because Jesus healed on the Sabbath, saying, there are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. Okay, well, the synagogue official would be today the senior pastor. Okay? And he is saying, we're not doing this in church. We're not healing in church. You have 6 other days to go to Jesus. Don't do it now. We have to be dignified in here. Jesus is saying, we're not having this. I can see him now, snapping his fingers. I have a sermon to preach. Listen, people, it took me 12 hours to prepare for this message. Don't interrupt the sermon with this foolishness. We ain't got time for this. I have to do my job. You have 6 other days that you can go to him, and the program was more important than Jesus. Are you hearing me this morning? His program, the official's program, was more important than Jesus. And I wonder sometimes if our programs aren't more important than what Jesus wants to do in the house of God. God, forgive us for making programs more important than what God wants to do. In verse 15, it says, you hypocrite, doesn't each of you untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out and give it water? Verse 16, then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, there's that reference again, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 years, be set free on the Sabbath day? From what has her bound? He's saying, does she not have the right to be healed on the Sabbath from what has her bound? Jesus, he's a bad boy. He's not following instructions. Jesus says, you go untie your donkey and untie your ox to give it water, and you think that's okay? And I untie this woman who's been chained or bound to Satan for a large part of her life, probably the best parts of her life, and that's not okay. It's not okay. God wants to set people free, not just have a good program, not just have a good time. God wants you to come to Him, not come to church. We have an awesome program here at Promise of Victory, but whenever Jesus wants to show up and show off, He's allowed to do that here. We love to come here. We love all the lights, the photography, all the pretty things, the sermon bumpers that Kristen does, all the stuff, all of it's beautiful. And it's awesome. We love all the ministry that's done here, but the bottom line of this place is that the church belongs to Jesus and it's His. And whatever He wants to do, He can do it, and He can do it now. He can do it next Sunday. He can do it the following Sunday, and He can do it whenever He wants to. Come on, will somebody just say, God, do it here. Do it here, Jesus. Do it here, Lord. Because when Jesus shows up, He's going to shake something. Because He's going to make things straight. He's going to wake somebody up. He's going to heal a relationship, because the church is not about a program. It's about a relationship with an almighty God and allowing Him to do whatever He wants to do. And it might look weird, and it might look strange, and it might look crazy to some of you, but nothing Jesus ever did was traditional. I mean, He spit in the mud and He used it to heal blind eyes. Come on. Is that traditional? Did we walk around spitting in the mud and putting it in people's eyes? No, it's crazy. It sounds foolish. It sounds foolish to us. We are about allowing Jesus to show up and set people free, healing somebody, delivering somebody, helping somebody, supplying the need of somebody, recovering an addict, breaking through pornography, breaking through lust addiction, healing an alcoholic, replacing sick with health, increasing faith and giving hope to the hopeless. In the house of God, we shouldn't be hearing about Jesus. We should see Him show up. Hallelujah. Lord, we worship You. Thank You, Jesus. So I've got good news for anybody in here today that might be bound. Jesus is welcome here. I said He's welcome here. I said Jesus is welcome here. And I want you to consider that maybe what you've been dealing with for so long is a spiritual issue. It's not that things aren't working out for you. It may be a spiritual issue. Maybe it's not about all the other stuff that you've been doing. Maybe there's a demon that has made himself at home in your life. Maybe because of the access or the foothold that you've given him, and that you have given him the freedom to roam freely in your life. I feel like I'm preaching today to some people who have done everything but get Jesus on the scene. Because of the root, you have allowed the enemy to take over your life for way too long. 18 years is a long time. 18 years is a lot of prime time in a person's life. But I wonder if I have anybody in here this morning that's sick and tired of living in that situation. It reminds me of a Disney story. You all know the story of Cinderella. This beautiful girl who was stuck in a bad situation for a long time. Year after year after year, her stepmother, with two evil stepsisters, were causing her havoc, making her do things that she did not want to do, making her do things that she didn't deserve. The devil and his twin sisters were making her life miserable. But one day, out of the invisible realm, showed up a fairy godmother, and she says to Cinderella, she says to her, girl, don't you know who you are? I know you've been treated like a slave, and you've been bound to something that you didn't ask for, but you don't know who you are. This godmother turned some mice into horses. She turned a pumpkin into a chariot. And all of a sudden, there was a beautiful dress. And Cinderella is now on her way to the ball, and she meets the prince. And she falls in love immediately. Don't you love those Disney stories? She discovers that she is loved. The problem is, the clock strikes midnight. The horses go back to being mice. The chariot goes back to being a pumpkin. And she goes back to rags and back to the bad condition that she was raised in. The chains that once had her bound were back on her again. She needed to know something about the prince. He was going to hunt her down until he found her. Are you hearing me this morning? The prince is going to hunt you down until he finds what he's looking for. You see, she left a shoe behind, and he went around looking for whoever the shoe would fit. And when he finally came to Cinderella, it slid right on her foot. And he said to her, "Guess what, sweetie? You're leaving this place because there's a better life for you. Never again will you live this life. Never, ever, ever again will you live this life." And as the story goes, they lived what? Happily ever after. Jesus is the prince, and God is the king, and he's looking for you this morning. I said he's looking for you this morning. He sees you. And I wonder if I have anybody in here today, come on, will you stand with me, that this message has pinpointed. I know that it has, because the Holy Spirit changed my message for some people in here this morning. So this is not going to be a long, drug-out altar call. If this has dealt with your heart and this is you and you're tired, I need you to just start coming to the altar. Because I know there's people in here that have been bound by things for way too long. And you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you want to do something about it. Jesus is calling you. He wants to set you free, but he can't set you free if you don't lay your chains down and leave them right where you put them. Will you step out today and let him heal you? He's looking for you. He's looking for those that have been bound, held hostage, and need to be delivered. You didn't just come to church today, people of God. You're coming to Jesus today. Every other Sunday was a church service, but this Sunday, you're coming to Jesus. Some of your lives are going to be changed today. Father, we thank you, Jesus. Have your way, Lord.